This is the Coast 89.7 Weekly News Magazine, Dialogue, highlighting local news stories and events in our Cape Breton communities.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Dialogue on the Coast 89.7. I'm Dave Wilson. This week, moving a library. We'll hear how the move is going in Glace Bay. The Lung Association has launched a program to provide those in need with sleep apnea devices. We'll hear about the 25th anniversary of the Cape Breton Orchestra and have a conversation with Celtic Serenade's Donnie Campbell, this year's winner of the ECMA's Stomp and Tom Award. That's all coming up on Dialogue on the Coast 89.7. Glace Bay Library is on the move. The library is now closed as staff makes the transition from the former Union Street location to their new home on Commercial Street. Meanwhile, the Cape Breton Regional Library is also in the process of offering new services in Victoria County. Bobby Knox spoke to Regional Librarian Faye McDougall.
Where do things stand right now with the move to the new location for the Glace Bay Library?
We packed everything at the branch over the last couple of weeks. So all of the collections and program supplies and that have been boxed. And those materials were moved last week to the new location. This week they will be completing the move of some of the shelving and furnishings, and that will be taken over. Now, saying that, we're also in the process of acquiring some new shelving for the branch, and we will have to wait until that is in place, until we're able to unpack and prepare the branch for opening. So at this time, we don't have an exact date for reopening the branch, but it certainly would be a number of weeks away.
Okay, so we're looking at a few weeks yet. I want to talk a little bit about the new space, because it's, I guess, the library had outgrown its former home on Union Street.
That's correct, it had, and we're looking forward to having some additional space, and as well, there will be a program room. We had a program room in the existing site as well, and this space will provide some additional workspace for our employees as well. So they'll have a spot where they can prepare their craft materials and things like that for programs. So all of our programs and that will resume as soon as the new branch opens.
And will the move allow you to offer more programs with more space to work in?
We are hoping that having the additional space will allow us to offer some new programs. But certainly there are many programs that were already being done in the existing library that will be continued. They were popular and being, you know, well attended. So all of those things will continue at the new site as well. We're really looking forward to it. We have our collection in Glace Bay is in the vicinity of 28,000 items, so there's a fair amount to get ready when we unpack.
Wow.
And with our circulation, last year we had a circulation of over 46,000 at the branch, so we're hoping that we'll see an increase in that as well as time goes by. So.
And the new space is on Commercial Street in the former PharmaSave location, is that correct?
That is correct. And so there will be, you will be able to come into the library from the front of the building on Commercial Street, as well as on both sides of the building. There will be a ramp on one side, and then you can access it. There's a small alleyway that comes from the back parking area, and there's an entrance on that side as well.
So, yeah, I think I noticed that. So that's like the Brody Avenue side, the parking lot there. I noticed a new ramp there. So that's for the library then.
Yes, it is.
And in terms of the new space, how will it be configured, I guess, you know, in comparison with the way things were on Union Street?
Well, the new space will be one open area. So presently we have a separate room for the children's library and the adult area. And this space will be one large open area with the circulation desk positioned in the center of the library, on to the side in the center of the space. And that way staff will have good visibility to all areas of the library from the circulation desk. And we of course, will position the children's materials closer to the program room area. And we as well will have some reading spaces for all ages to come in and to enjoy the library.
So it sounds like a more efficient working space than as compared to the old location.
We hope so. Presently, we have a small circulation desk in the children's library and one in the adult library in the existing location. So we are hoping that we will just have the one central checkout station in Glace Bay.
Will there be any other changes that regular library patrons might notice in Glace Bay when they go to the new location?
I don't think. I think they will find it will be convenient in that it's close to other businesses in the downtown area. We also will be almost directly across from Townhouse, and we're very happy about that because we know that we often have worked with Townhouse with some children's programs and that, so we're looking forward to welcoming some of the smaller folks into the library as time goes on.
Do you think the new location might help to bring a bit more traffic? Because I'm just thinking there is parking there behind the building, and it is Commercial Street. You know, is the hope that maybe more people might be visiting the library as a result?
We believe that we will have more visits to the library due to the new location, simply because it is closer to other services in the community and other businesses. So we think just in that general area that will increase the foot traffic. So last year we had over 38,000 in-person visits, so we're hoping that that number will go up.
And but as you say, we're still weeks away on this, so you're waiting on some shelving equipment or units, and I suppose after that, as you mentioned, the collection has to be sorted out and shelved and everything.
That's right. And unpacking a library collection for a branch of that size is no small feat. So it will take us a little bit of time to get all of those materials unpacked and in order and shelved. But we're really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lovely sight, and I'm sure that the members of the community will really enjoy their new branch.
Now, what is the library staff doing in the meantime? Are they sort of still working at moving things and going through things? And
they are. They're in the process of. Most things have been packed and have been moved over. So what they will start to do over the next couple of weeks is to get as much as possible organized in advance of the shelving being installed. So they will be looking at unpacking and organizing their program supplies, getting their circulation desk set up, things like that. We will have to get technology in place, so all of the public access computers and those things will have to be set up and installed. And then if we find that they've done as much as they possibly can before the shelving arrives and they've completed those tasks, then they will be asked to work in some other library branches on a temporary basis until such time as their branch is ready to set up.
Okay, but the goal is to have everything as ready as possible when those shelving units arrive.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to shift gears a little bit here and talk about library services in another part of Cape Breton, Victoria County. You're now, waiting for a new bookmobile to arrive that will serve the county?
The library board made a decision earlier this year that they would discontinue the bookmobile service in Victoria County. And the bookmobile that has been operating in that region for the last 8 to 10 years or so, it's aging, and mechanically we've had some problems with it over the past while. So it was taken off the road this year. And the board is replacing that vehicle with a smaller delivery style vehicle, and they are changing the nature of the service as well. So we still have one bookmobile in operation in our region that traditionally has served the Cape Breton County area, and they are going to use that bookmobile that is now providing bookmobile service to the north of Smoky region, and that run will be continued. With our new vehicle that we expect to have in the near future, we are going to look at doing outreach programs and outreach service using that vehicle. And so the staff that are based in Bedeck, they will be carrying out programs, they will be doing class visits, they will continue to provide the book delivery service to the long-term care facilities such as Alderwood in Bedeck. We bring books to the facilities, and we meet with residents there, and they can borrow books, and then we return 2 weeks later, and we do a refresh on that collection as well. So it will be a bit of a hybrid kind of a service, with bookmobile service to some areas and then the outreach and programs to other areas of the county. We're quite excited. I think this is going to allow us to go to community festivals and community events and participate, and it will allow us the flexibility with a smaller vehicle to do that. So staff are looking forward to putting that into place, and they'll be really getting underway once our new vehicle arrives, which is expected fairly soon.
And you've already done a little I guess, consultation with people who live in the area, getting some feedback on what they're looking for?
Yes, and the feedback that we received, one of the things that we heard about a lot was the need for programs, and people really wanted to have some programs offered in their communities. And so with the staff members that will be doing that, we'll be listening to what people have to say in the communities, what kind of programs they would like, and responding to that according to what they hear. We were finding with the bookmobile service that the use of the bookmobile service was declining, and so stops, we were finding that, you know, we would often have a fair number of people visit over the years that really declined. So we recognized that we had to make a change to the way in which we were delivering service. So we have a bit of a hybrid model coming forth with this one.
So is this a sign of the way libraries are changing from, our traditional notion of what a library is and does?
Absolutely, and I think as with any organization or business, libraries also have to evolve and change, and just because something worked really well 25, 30 years ago doesn't mean it's going to work in the same way today. And so we recognize it's still very important that the library be out across the entire county and participating in events and carrying out programs in the entire county. It's just that we're changing the structure around the way that we are delivering those.
And when you mention programs, what are some examples of the sorts of programs your staff would deliver?
Staff could deliver anything from participating at a book club event, bringing book club materials out to members of the community. They could be doing a babies and books program or a family program, and in some cases an intergenerational program. So, for example, one of the outreach programs that was done in Bedeck through the Bedeck Library, that it was a very successful program, was a babies and books preschool program, and that was offered at the Alderwood home in Bedeck. So we had the very youngest members of our community and the more senior members of our community coming together for an intergenerational program. And it was very well received, a lovely program. And this is the kind of thing that we would be looking at bringing out across the county.
Yeah, sounds like a nice idea indeed. Anyway, I thank you for the updates, I guess, on services, I guess, for two areas that you serve today. I appreciate this.
And I would just, you're very welcome. I'd just like to add that library cards are free of charge, and all members of our community are welcome to come in to any branch or to visit the bookmobile and to sign up for a card. And there's many items that they would probably be interested in their library collections across the region.
The Cape Breton Orchestra is celebrating its silver anniversary with a special performance May 4th at the Savoy Theater. Dialogue recently spoke with the orchestra's director, a student member, and vice president about the orchestra and the upcoming performance.
Celebrating their 25th anniversary this year, and they've come here to tell us about a big concert that they're going to have, and also about I want to know about the history of the orchestra as well. So joining us in the studio this morning, Noel Wadden is the director of the Cape Breton Orchestra.
Hello.
Kevin Strong. Oh, yeah, you can say hello.
Hello.
Kevin Strong is the vice president of the orchestra, Kevin. And also joining us is Braylee Hiscock, who is a student in the orchestra, but she's also very famous because she's going to Acadia University later on. How are you? How's it going, guys?
Great. Thanks.
It's good to have you here. Thanks for dropping by, and always great to hear about something that is successful in Cape Breton and has been going on for 25 years. Kevin, you want to tell us about how this all got started?
Well, this was a dream of our artistic director, Kim Lance. He wanted to play light classical and classical music here on the island, and there was no orchestra at the time, so he decided to start one. So he started a small Cape Breton chamber orchestra, which was all strings, and after a few rehearsals, he invited in some woodwinds, and basically that was the beginning of the Cape Breton Orchestra back in 1994.
Now, I take it I'm just going to guess at this, Noel, but you weren't there at the time.
Yes, actually, I think I was.
Were you?
I was a student at Acadia University. So when I came home in the summer and the spring, I would play on and off with them. So then throughout the 90s and the early 2000s, I did play. And then I took a leave. And then I came back about 10 years ago and started conducting them.
How many members in the orchestra?
There's about 35.
Yeah.
35 members.
So, like, what kind of a task is that, directing 35 members of an orchestra?
Well, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, too. We rehearse every Sunday for 2 hours, and a lot of people just love playing classical music, and we do some lighter tunes as well. And in the last few years, we started bringing in more advanced high school students that play strings and the odd wind instrument as well, and that's how we got Braley in, and we have a few more from the various high schools throughout the district, and yeah, it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. We enjoy it.
What do you play, Braley?
I play trumpet.
Trumpet?
Yeah.
And you've been with the band for how, well, you've been with, don't say band, Kevin, you told me, it's an orchestra, it's an orchestra.
We love bands.
I'm used to talking to band members, though, okay? This is the first orchestra I've ever done. When did you become involved with the orchestra, Brady?
About 3 years ago.
Yeah? And do you attend practice every week? Are you, is it a fun thing for you, or is it, you know?
Yeah, it's lots of fun. The trumpet section's great.
She's smiling.
That's why she's smiling. They like to have a lot of fun.
They're the difficult ones, aren't
they? They're the difficult ones.
The trumpet section, I can tell just by looking at it. Sorry, Kevin, go ahead.
No, I was going to say there's a strong educational component with the orchestra. There are a number of music professionals in the orchestra, music teachers such as Noel, and professional performers that have private students. And when they have students that reach a certain level, that would like to continue with probably more difficult music, they introduce them to the orchestra. And through that, we've gotten students like Braley, who she's decided that she wants to go on and become a music teacher. So,
and heading to Acadia University.
Yes.
Yeah. So. Would be a shame to lose that in our school system, wouldn't it? You don't have to say anything. I'm saying that. Be a shame to lose that sort of connection to music and to what can go on with the arts and music as well. Okay, that's my pedestal. I'm off now. Let's find out about the concert. You've got a big concert coming up, and you've got some special guests along with the orchestra. Sounds like a great time.
Yeah, we're having our 25th anniversary concert, May 4th at the Savoy. The concert begins at 7. We have a wide range of musical selections for that evening. Noel, who are some of the special guests that we have coming in?
Margaret McPherson is going to be singing a couple of popular tunes. And we have the Malcolm Monroe School Choir under the direction of Melissa McNeil. And they have an a cappella group as well called So Far, So Good. So, and we're going to play a little bit of Vaughan Williams, a little Vivaldi. You'll hear more popular tunes like What a Wonderful World. And, of course, we have a special encore that will include everybody.
That will include everybody. It's an arrangement of We Rise Again. That was Leon Dubinsky's number originally.
Yeah.
Lydia Adams,
Glace Bay Girl.
Glace Bay Girl.
Yeah.
Did a special arrangement for her choir in Ontario, and then gave Stuart Calvert, a Glace Bay boy, permission to adapt her arrangement for the choir for us for the orchestra. And it's going to include the orchestra and all our special guests. It will be
fantastic.
It'll be a special arrangement of We Rise Again.
We Rise Again, that's correct, yeah.
Wow, okay. Where can people get, if they're interested in going, and by the sounds of it, it would be would be a great great evening of entertainment. Where can you get tickets? At the Savoy box office?
Tickets are available at the Savoy box office. They're $25 a seat.
Brandon, has this made a difference as far as in your enjoyment of music growing up and coming and being part of the orchestra? Did this help you in making a choice to go on further?
Yes, it shows more classical ways than it does in school band, and it's more difficult with different keys and playing with more experienced people.
Yeah, you're involved with the Glace Bay High School Band?
Yes.
Gee, you're involved too, Noelle, I think, aren't you?
I am. I teach Braley there.
Yeah. And so you just finished up a trip to Florida.
We did.
Have fun?
We had a fantastic time, and the band sounded really, really fantastic down there.
Well, I heard from a couple of people that were actually there that said it was a great performance that the band put on.
Yeah.
Well, this will be a great performance too. And you said you've been practicing, Noelle, so you're ready, but you still got, you don't have much time left, do you?
No, we have two more rehearsals left.
You better be ready.
Yeah, we better be ready.
Good luck. Thanks for dropping by today.
Thanks for having us on, Dave.
Thank you.
The Nova Scotia Lung Association has launched a program to help provide sleep apnea devices to those unable to afford them. Dialogue spoke to Michelle Donaldson, Communications and Special Projects Coordinator, about the Nova Scotia Sleep Apnea Program. Michelle, first of all, tell us how the idea of the Sleep Apnea Program came to be through the Lung Association.
So about 10 years ago, we recognized that there was a need. We were getting a lot of people calling, asking if we had this equipment available. And we did recognize that there's over 30,000 Nova Scotians that have sleep apnea, and not everybody is able to afford therapy. So the program was born.
Now this is a program that does exactly what? It provides machines for those who can't afford them.
Exactly.
How do they go about doing that?
Well, we take donations of gently used CPAP and BiPAP machines. So those are the machines that we use for therapy. And we have Dalhousie University School of Health Science students come in, and they refurbish the machines under the instruction of one of their professors. And then we take those refurbished machines, and we essentially give them out to people that don't have access to therapy otherwise. So essentially, people call us and they ask to get put on our wait list. And then when machines become available, they receive a machine for their therapy.
I was a little bit surprised by the number when you said, how large a number of people are affected by sleep apnea. And those machines are not inexpensive, right?
No, on average, the machines for sleep apnea treatment cost around $2,500.
And they would be sometimes covered by insurance companies, sometimes not. So there'd be a lot of people, so to speak, left out in the cold without access to them.
Exactly. If you have a really good insurance plan, then there's likely some coverage there. But some insurance plans don't cover them at all, and some insurance plans only cover like a minimal amount. And then you have your seniors that are on fixed incomes. Oftentimes they don't have any coverage whatsoever.
Yeah, they're not covered under the PharmaCare program.
I'm not sure. I think that the only coverage that the province has is under the, if you're under community services, then you can access some funding for a machine.
Right. If you have a machine, and I would imagine it's like anything else, machines are updated, you might have an older machine or whatever the case might be, what would you do?
So that's where we're looking for people to donate their machines. A lot of times if people do have insurance coverage, it often gives them a new machine every 5 years. So we're asking people to consider that if they're getting a new machine every 5 years, that when that 5 years comes up, that they consider donating their old machine to the Lung Association's program.
And they could do that. How do they go about doing that?
So all of the Lions clubs around Nova Scotia, they act as collection points for us. So if you're in a more rural area, you can drop it off to your local Lions club. We also accept machines at the Lung Association's office here in Halifax. And as well, if people have machines and they're not close to a Lions club or our office, we can also arrange for pickup as well, just by visiting our website and giving us a call.
So these are machines. You actually have to be diagnosed with sleep apnea, right?
You do have to be diagnosed. The only way that we add people to our waiting list is if people actually have a valid prescription.
Oh, for the machine?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Sleep apnea, well, from what I've read on it anyway, it affects a lot of things, including your breathing, of course, and it has a lot to do with how your heart is working and so on. So it's a fairly important project that you've undertaken.
Yes, you know, obviously we're all about the breathing, and if you're not breathing at night, then your body isn't getting the necessary oxygen that it needs to function and heal itself, which it often does at night. So yes, we think that this is a very important program. We're all about keeping Nova Scotians healthier, and essentially that's our goal, helping people breathe better.
Severe sleep apnea, you can actually stop breathing during your sleep.
Yes, yeah, so some people stop up to, you know, some people are stopping 30 times an hour, their breathing is stopping. So can you imagine not breathing 30 times within an hour period, how much that's affecting the rest of your body?
So it's as easy as just contacting, as you said, the Lions Club or the Lung Association, and saying that you've got a machine for them, and you'll take care of it from there.
Exactly.
Michelle, thanks very much for talking with us this morning. Appreciate it. Good luck with the program.
Thank you so much, Dave.
He's been playing Celtic at Cape Breton Music for over 45 years. The host of Celtic Serenade is a veteran musician and singer who has never been one to seek glory or the spotlight. But now, this year's East Coast Music Association have decided Donnie Campbell should get the Stoppin' Tom Connor Award. He spoke with Dialogue.
I don't know how to say this. Let me just try. If you're an unsung hero, which the Stoppin' Tom Connor's Award is all about, does that mean that for years you've been doing what you've been doing, but you haven't been recognized? Or does it mean that finally somebody No. has said he's the guy you should have been looking at?
No, it means somebody didn't write the song yet. I don't know. I've been there, 45 years? I've never pushed myself. I wasn't one for going out and playing myself. I hardly ever play myself on the radio. I was never one to push myself. It was always about the music.
What do you mean? Oh, you don't, you don't the music. Take your guitar in there.
No, I don't play my CDs either. Very seldom.
On Celtic Serenade, you've never played Donnie
Campbell. Well, I have, but not very much. Not very often. I always figured it was always about the music. It was always about everybody else. Just let's get out and promote the music. It's not about me.
Well, because
it was never about me.
Well, because you play with some pretty famous people, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't that doesn't mean that I'm any better than anybody else. Yeah, I played with lots of. If I told you half the people I've worked with and played with and made music with, you'd look at me and you'd say, "Yeah, right."
Give me some big names then.
I don't know, Tommy Makem, Liam Clancy, the Furies, Clancy Brothers.
You were good enough to play with them.
Yeah. Well, so
they thought you were good enough to play with them.
Yeah.
So wasn't that recognition at the time? That,
absolutely. You know, but it's no different playing with them than it is playing with Buddy McMaster or Carl McKenzie or, you know, anybody that we go when we do the Celtic Serenade.
I should have.
I know. It's maybe it is straight. Maybe it is straight. Maybe I shouldn't. Don't be hitting the table.
I did. I slammed
it. You know, maybe I should have been promoting myself. But it was never
list. It would have been a shorter list if I asked you is there anybody you haven't played with? In Cape Breton Island and elsewhere.
Some of the younger ones.
So the younger ones now, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back to the start.
Okay.
When did Donnie Campbell first pick up a guitar and say, I can play this?
Well, I don't know if I picked it up that I could play it. And I think I got a guitar because I think, well, it goes back one time. I was 13, 14, maybe a little older. I don't know. 13 or 14 anyway. And my father walked in the kitchen, and I was up on the counter by the sink, and I had the broom, and I was lip-syncing to Gordon Lightfoot, singing the Canadian Railroad Trilogy.
Oh, good song.
It was. So I don't know if my father felt sorry for me or if he felt sorry for himself, but he bought me a guitar.
Or for Gordon Lightfoot.
Yeah. Or for Lightfoot. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever played with Gordon Lightfoot?
I've been to shows with him, yeah.
There you go, see?
He had great voice, too. He was real good. I can't tell you here.
He's still singing.
He is.
He's coming to Halifax.
Yeah. Yeah.
In November. Anyway, yeah. I'm off track here.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you picked up that guitar, did you practice a lot? Did you?
A little bit, yeah, yeah.
Did it just come naturally? You just started playing?
Sort of, yeah. I forget who it was that said go out and buy Lightfoot's books because they had the chords, and they showed you. If it said like, if you were doing Early Morning Rain, it would say C here, E minor here, F there, and it would give you the diagrams of the chords, what they looked like.
Where to put your fingers.
Yeah. And somebody else said, sit in front of the mirror. And then you'll see in the mirror where to put your fingers. And you won't be looking down at the guitar all the time.
And it worked?
And it worked.
Obviously.
Yeah, and it did. So anyway, I had two lessons. When McKnight's were still on Charlotte Street upstairs, Professor McDonald. And he would say, I don't know what he'd do. He might be a little frustrated with the other students. He'd say, play some of those Alan Cameron tunes. So, I had two lessons, and then it comprised of sitting in the corner, and then, yeah, play some of those Alan Cameron tunes. My sister played the pipes, so she taught me how to read the pipe music, and John Allen taught me where the notes were on the guitar. So
That's pretty good teacher.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you play any other instruments?
A little bit of the mandolin, a little tin whistle, yeah.
But your favorite is the guitar.
Guitar, yeah.
And that's been your moneymaker, right?
That's been the moneymaker.
Any regrets?
No. No, I came off the road. I was like telling
Because
you.
That wasn't your job.
No.
You worked for years with Nova Scotia.
I went to St. Evex, and then after that I was on the road for a little better than 2 years. And we traveled the country, and I got tired of hotels.
Who's we? Who did
Miller's
you
tra- Jug. And
Miller's we there, Jug.
Yeah.
Oh, I just had a flashback. Yeah, I remember now.
Yeah, you were probably one of those guys hopping up and down, drinking beer with the, you know, stuff.
Darn tootin'.
But where was I? Oh, yeah, but anyway, I came off the road because I was tired of hotels and restaurants, and I got a job at Nova Scotia Power. And I said, this looks like a good gig. You get a check every 2 weeks. There's health plan, there's dental plan, and somewhere in the future, there's a pension. And I spent 35 years in hotels and restaurants.
but you didn't throw the guitar away. You kept playing on the side.
I kept playing.
You kept playing all the
time. Well, I can say it now, and I'll say it to one of my first supervisors. I'll say, remember those Thursdays and Fridays and Mondays I'd be sick? Yeah, well, really, really, I was at a festival somewhere. But I can say it now because you can't fire me now.
Was there ever a time that you just gave it up? Was there ever a time you didn't play?
Mm-mm.
So it's like it's been a steady 40.
Well, I had a kid. I had a son, Stephen, that was in hockey. And every year he was growing out of goalie gear. So I was lucky that I could do it. It helped with all that stuff with the kids and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you're on the road, everybody would say, did you bring your guitar?
Did you bring your guitar?
And did you? Of course.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes on the road we did, yeah.
Yeah.
Traveling, yeah. Because you never knew.
So when they called you, and I take it they called you from the East Coast Music Awards and said, hey, we're going to put you in as the Stompin' Tom Connor Award winner this year. What did you say?
They said, well, first thing they said was, do you want it?
They asked if you wanted it?
Yeah. I said, well, yeah, sure.
What?
I was like, okay.
Well, what did you think?
Well, I just think, why? Because and I go back and I say this to Andy, and I said it to Wendy when I was on CBC with her, your nemesis. No, I'm not saying that. That's not nice. She's just a little
you
bit
know,
of competition.
I'm going to cut that part
person.
Out anyway.
Oh, I know you are. Alexa. No, we're all friends in the business. Come on.
Yeah.
We all know each other. We've known each other for years. What was I saying?
You were going to say you said to her what I asked
you. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. I sit on my rear end and I play records. Big deal. But I guess it was a couple of years ago, maybe 10 years ago now, Ken Donovan, I don't know if you know Ken. He's with the Old Sydney Society.
Yeah.
He said to me one time, and I think it was after John Allen had put his records and his notes and his papers, went into the Beaton Institute. He said, "Where's all your letters and your?" Because I had some really nice letters. Looking back, I wish I had saved them.
Letters that people would send?
Would send in. You know, I can remember one. My mother has cancer, and she gets up on Sundays, and she gets dressed, and she puts on her makeup, and she sits in the chair, and she listens to your show. And that's her way of getting out for the week. I should have saved letters like that.
That's some pretty powerful stuff.
It was. Yeah. You know, looking back, you know, another lady came to the house one night, and she dropped off a quilt. And she said, "I hope this quilt will bring you as much enjoyment as your show did to my father while he was alive." I wish I had saved that stuff.
Yeah.
But so after that, I started saving the shows. I started saving all the letters and anything I can. Because he kind of made me think and realize, I guess, that after all these years, it is a relevant show. And it's remained relevant over as much as that amazes me. And that the number of young people that listen to the show.
Yeah. Back then, though, we didn't think that way of saving stuff. But now with social media, Facebook, Instagram, and all of that, everybody saves everything.
It's so different. I mean, I had three tapes. And you used them week after week after week. Same three tapes. Every year I'd get a new set of tapes, you know? If I could talk Roy into it, you know?
Now you know the secrets of Celtic Serenade. This is how it all originated.
Yeah,
the
CDs don't work sometimes, it's really not that they don't work or they don't start. I got caught on the other computer playing solitaire.
It's not just the East Coast Music Award, though, from what I've read about it, is not just about Celtic Serenade. It's about Donnie Campbell, the person who has not only done Celtic Serenade for 45 years or whatever, but has also been playing with, as you said, a whole bunch of people, but has been playing on your own and playing and promoting and keeping that traditional style of music alive.
Yeah, and I think that's what I do. The music is evolving and changing. I still like to play the old style because I think we have to remember where we came from and what the music was. I still like to play some of the Gaelic. And if I've done a little bit to... When I see all these young people taking up the fiddle, taking up the Gaelic language and the step dancing and the culture, I like to think I had a little bit of something to do with it. Hopefully I did.
Is there... as much talent out there now as...
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, better.
Better than Donnie Campbell?
Oh, God. 10 times, 100 times. I was talking to Jordan Musician one day, and he was saying, "You guys are good." And I said, well, I was telling him how, like, "Jordan, you're really good." And he is. No. And I said, yeah. I said, every generation is getting better and better and better. And I said, someday you're going to remember this because you're going to look back at the young ones coming up behind you and saying,
just say the same thing.
You guys are so much better than we were.
Yeah. How do you remember all the songs? How
I
do
make
you
them up.
But I mean, you know, even the traditional, if you're playing along with fiddle music, Cape Breton fiddle music, or if you're playing Gaelic, if you're playing Irish, whatever, how do you remember all of that? Because you rarely have music in front of you.
Yeah, I don't. I don't carry music with me. I don't know. It's just it's easy. It just becomes part of you, I guess.
But what kind of a repertoire of songs do you have? Like,
I don't know.
How many would you be able to play at an instant?
I don't know. We were playing last night, and I said to Jinx, "I'm tired of doing all the old songs. Here's 99 new ones." I said, "I haven't done these in 20 years, but
try and keep up with me."
Basically, and he just looks at me, and he just But he, you know, he picks anything up, and after a few seconds, he knows where I'm at and what I'm doing. But I don't know. There's thousands of songs that...
When you receive an award that's named after a Canadian icon, it must be an honor, right?
It is. Oh, absolutely. It's a great honor. It is a great honor, and I'm very happy and very proud.
But it's not the end of the road.
No.
I mean, you're still playing, right?
I hope so.
Every day?
Not so much since Stephen got the dog and I have to look after the dog. Now it's mostly trying to stop her from digging holes in the front lawn and going for a walk.
Probably write a song about that later on.
I try to play every day. Try a little bit. Yeah.
Does it bother you that how am I going to put this without you getting angry at me? Does it bother you that Donnie Campbell didn't, you know, shoot to some sort of stardom in Canada and doesn't have the same kind of a name as others that would be considered big stars? Because, you know, anybody in the industry would know your name.
No, it was never a goal of mine. Like I said, I got the job. My goal was to get a check every 2 weeks. A health plan, a dental plan, and a pension at the end of it. That was all that was important to me. And have fun on the side.
You still have fun playing, don't you?
I still have fun playing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I look back at things like the first time we played the Stephenville Folk Festival and Buddy Wass's name and the other fellas were there. I'm still laughing. Yeah. But we've met so many nice people over the years and so many good
people. And I bet you still get letters, emails, messages now that thank you for playing the music.
Mm-hmm. The most exercise my finger got from, or my thumb got from changing channels on the remote was hitting like to all of the responses on Facebook where I got the Stomp and Tom Award. And it's people I haven't heard from in years. And it's nice, you know, I'm getting from Ireland and Scotland and through the States and stuff. It's nice. You know?
That's a good feeling, isn't it?
It's a good feeling. You're darn right it is.
Finally, recognition.
Yeah.
Which you've had.
Yeah, I'm right up there with Gandhi and the Dalai Lama now. You know?
Donnie Campbell. Well, congratulations.
Thanks,
it's an award well deserved.
Thank you.
And when's the big ceremony? When's that taking place?
The 5th? 5th of May.
May. Charlottetown. Charlottetown is where the ECMAs are.
Yep.
We'll be listening, watching.
Not coming over?
Can't make it. I'm still into that work thing.
There you go. You have to give that up, you know?
Not yet. Thanks, Donnie.
Thank you.
And that's our show for today. Thanks for listening. For Dialogue, I'm Dave Wilson.
Catch Dialogue 3 times weekly, Sundays at noon, Tuesday and Thursday at 10 p.m. Dialogue is a production of the Coast 89.7 News. For story suggestions, contact 902-849-9303 or email news@coastalradio.ca. For past episodes of Dialogue, check out our Dialogue podcast, available now online at coastalradio.ca.